Amen. I realize that many of us just came from lunch, and if it gets rather warm and you get sleepy, you can stand up, okay? If you need to move around to stay from falling asleep, by all means, do what you need to do. Just don't interfere with the Word today, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, that's better. Hallelujah. Well, as God permits, we're going to continue to build on from this morning. How many know that God's building a house? And because He's building a house, what part of the house do you begin with first?
Foundation.
The foundation. Does everybody know what a foundation is? Huh? Raise your hand if you know what a foundation is. We may need some interpretation this afternoon. It's important that we get the Word.
Yes.
Bible teaches that man does not live by what?
Bread
alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Foundation. In America, where I come from, or we, actually Mark lives in a house like this. The foundation is made of huge rocks, usually. A foundation is what you build the house upon. And the foundation is made up of stones. How many know that not only are we the house of God, but we are as lively stones? Each one of us being sometimes a stone set in place. But the foundation we're speaking of now is the foundation that God lays in His Word. I want to paint a picture for you. Does everybody know what a caterpillar is? Raise your hands if you know what a caterpillar is.
What do you mean?
A worm.
A worm with legs.
Caterpillar.
Caterpillar. Everybody knows what a caterpillar is.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, yeah.
What can you tell me about a caterpillar? It has many legs, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Green ones, and they're usually not a very pretty animal or bug. And because they have many legs, they're bound to walk on the earth. But something happens with a caterpillar. It eventually spins a cocoon, right?
What do you mean?
It makes an enclosure.
A shell. And through a process, it becomes what?
A beautiful butterfly.
Everybody understand so far?
Yeah.
We're like the caterpillar.
Amen.
But a process that's called in the English, I don't know what it's called in your language, but the word is metamorphosis.
Amen.
Metamorphosis. Do you have a word for that?
Yeah.
Everybody understands that word. It's the process by which the caterpillar becomes a butterfly.
Amen.
Right? You know that word metamorphosis is in the Bible three times?
Metamorphosis nga word na lang siya sa Biblia. Tulo kay kayong ipamulong.
Twice it refers to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he was transfigured, he was metamorphumai. It's a Greek word, but there's one other place that the reference is to us. I want us to turn there now. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1.
Roma, don't be honored.
That was verse 1. I want you to recognize something in that verse. It says to present our bodies what? A living sacrifice. Which is
what? Ato makita diyan ang importante, ang potensya na mawag na paghanap sa itong kinabuhi, ang ingahalag na buhi diyan sa niya.
Which is what? Our reasonable service.
Namawag atong pag-alagad nga matuklangan, matuklangan yung pagpangalagad.
That's just the beginning. Verse 2, you want to read verse 2?
Ayaw ka mo, pagpangayon, kumatasa ng pangalap. Pamagpo, inuunan sa Diyos, pag-inang kawalik,
be not conformed to this world.
Dili kita magpakig-abel, magsundog sa mga tao ning sa panahonan karon.
The best way I can describe the word conform is you being pressed into a mold.
Dili magkisama o magkipareha kanila.
Do they have clay here? And you take the clay, it's soft and it's pliable. And if you have a mold, you can press the clay into it. The Bible is telling us, be not pressed into the form known as the world.
Ang Biblia nagapadayag na dili kita mahimong magmaysama ni ana dili kay kita.
But be ye transformed.
Apan magpausab kita.
That is the word metamorphosis. That refers to you and I.
Nagapasabot kana kanimo kanako.
Now think back of the caterpillar.
Balik ka nato sa caterpillar ng mga ulot.
A creature that's bound to the earth, many legs.
Ang tiil niya nagkamangkamang sa yuta, daghan kayo.
Not very beautiful to look at.
Dili ba yung nanam, kay ulot managin.
But it spins a cocoon or a shell.
Apa dito na sa mga puya na niya.
And it goes inside.
Sulod siya dito.
And now without you knowing or seeing, it is changed. It is transformed. It is metamorphosis. That is the process that you and I should be going through now. God is calling us not to be earthbound. But through the process of transformation, I become a beautiful creature. that now can soar or fly in the heavens. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You understand then what God is asking of us. God wants us to begin to set our sights much higher. We all have circumstances of life, don't we? Your circumstances may be different than my circumstances. But yet, through God, they can work out our salvation. If we keep our focus on Him, and we are led by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, if I ask you the question, where is heaven, what would you tell me? Where is heaven? Huh? Some are pointing up. Some are pointing to their heart. Well, let's understand just where this heavenly place might be, right? There is a place called heaven that is a realm. But there is heaven within us.
If
John 3 says, if a man be born again, what? He sees the kingdom. But then it goes on and it says, if a man be born of water and of the Spirit, what happens? He begins to enter now. Let's just look at some scriptures. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Brother, you want to read again? Verse 21, neither shall they say, Jesus was speaking of a time yet to come. At that point of time, the kingdom of God was not available for man because Jesus had not yet died and be glorified. But nevertheless, he was saying, the kingdom of God shall be in you. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to read 1, 5, and 6.
5 and 6. And
has raised us up and made us to sit together where? in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the key. The key is in Christ. I want us to go ahead. I want us to understand something here this afternoon. God wants us to change the way we think. The problem is we have a mindset that keeps us bound to the earth. And the enemy uses the distractions of life. You see, if all day long all you are doing is thinking about your natural circumstances, you leave no place for your mind to be thinking on the things of God. Does that mean you quit your work? No. Does that mean you stop raising your children? Or stop doing it, whatever it is you're doing? No. A brother shared long ago, only think on the things that are necessary only to the point. That you need to get those things done. But begin to think upon the things of God, upon His kingdom. It says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 says, whatsoever things are. Do we know that scripture? Can somebody quote that? Whatsoever things are pure. Go ahead. Anybody have that? This is God's instruction to us. That we need to begin to think on a much higher plane. And not be bound up with all the cares of this life. Another scripture says, set your mind on things above. Right? And not on things of the earth. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I like to turn that around and say, whatever a man desires to be, so let him think. Do you understand what I'm saying this afternoon? God wants us to begin to think higher, to begin to see ourselves as who God has called us to be. We are called to be what? The sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at another scripture, John 14.
In verse 2,
what is God saying to us? What are mansions? Ask the question.
Sa verse 2, doon ay pumuntan na ang saman ka ng ginganda ng mga mansion.
Can you answer?
Yeah.
What is a mansion to you?
Mansion is
your heart? Where I come from in Florida? Have you ever heard of Palm Beach? Many mansions. Big, big houses. But that's not what God's talking about. Many Christians believe that when they die, and then go to heaven. Of course, they're not understanding that we can be in a heavenly realm today. But there waits for them this huge mansion. On streets of gold. But this is not what Jesus was referring to. You see that word mansion? Let's read verse 23. Actually, start with 22. Somebody want to read? John 14, verse 22 and 23. Verse 23, if a man love me, we will what? Come unto him and make our abode within him. That word abode is the same word in the Greek as mansion. Now remember what Bert shared out of Genesis 1:26 this morning. What was God's desire from the very beginning? Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Jesus says, if a man love me, my Father and I will come within and make what? Our abode within them. But here is Jesus telling them, be not troubled. In my Father's house are many places of abode. In fact, we sing the song out of Psalm 84, how lovely are thy dwelling places. So here is Jesus standing right before them and telling them that he's in a place that they're not, and yet he goes and prepares a place for them. Right? Amen. That place is in a heavenly realm. It is in Christ Jesus. God has made for you and I that place.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at one other scripture, 2 Peter 1.
Yes, 2 Peter 1.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
chapter 1, read verse 2 and 3 to begin with.
2 Peter 1, 2 and 3.
No, 2 Peter chapter 1, read verses 2 and 3. Look at verse 3. Does it say that His divine power has given unto us some things? Look at your Bibles. Most things?
Yes.
It says all things. All things. Do you believe that this afternoon?
Amen.
That He has given us all things that pertain to what?
Life.
Life and God's likeness.
Amen.
Godliness is God's likeness.
Amen.
Amen. Be ye holy. We heard it this morning. Even as I am holy, saith the Lord. But let's read on. Verse 4. What does it say? That we can be through what? Through the precious promises, partakers of what? Divine nature.
So, malambit kita ngayon sa mga balaan ng mga binuhat sa Diyos.
That's today, brethren. And if somebody had an amplified Bible, it would say we can be partakers of the divine nature through flight. In other words, escaping. Think of the caterpillar again. Escaping the boundness we are to the earth. And being set free.
Amen.
Amen. Do we understand what the Word is saying?
Amen.
How many of us want that? Huh? Are we getting tired?
No.
I'm asking a question. How many of us want that? Huh? Amen. I don't want to be bound to the earth. I don't want to be bound to my humanity. Amen. I don't want to be bound to my Adamic nature. Amen. Do we really believe this? That we can be partakers of the divine nature. Having what? Escaped the world. You know, I think a lot about Adam in the garden. I think Bert shared half the things that were on my heart this morning. Think of Adam in the garden walking with God. We have no idea how long that may have been. But can you imagine the relationship? Can you imagine the intimacy? Bert shared how God had to have been talking with him concerning the kingdom. Sharing with him the secrets. Much like Jesus must have done with the disciples. When he says, I no longer call you servants but friends. God desires this kind of relationship with us. God's not this far off being that's somewhere out there. He's nearer than your next heartbeat. He's closer than your breath. And yet many of us go through life not understanding how close He really is. And more so His desire to have relationship with us. You know, the whole time that Adam was walking in the garden with God having relationship, the devil was there working a counterfeit. You know what a counterfeit is? It looks the same, but it's not. You know, God had some rules in the garden, didn't He? But you saw how the devil came and tempted Eve. Let's look at that for a minute. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 16 and 17. Amen. Now let's go over to chapter 3. Read verses 1 through 4.
Ang bitin ng mga labing libungan. Ipautana o patitin ng babae, hindi ang balay kamo sa Diyos pagkawal sa bunga sa panangkawal sa tanaman. Itubag ang babae. Magkawal kami sa mga bunga sa panangkawal sa tanaman, gawag kawal na sa libala nini. Hindi ang kami sa Diyos pagkawal sa pabisan, ganit, paghika, yan ang kahuya, kung supako na mo kini, mamatay kami. Mayroon ang bitin. Hindi tinobot ka mamatay kami.
Read verse 5 too, I'm sorry.
Bingon ang bitin, gisulti kini sa Dios, kanyo, kaya sa Dios man kayo siya na kumukawan kamo nini maapli ang inyong salabutan o may sama kamo kanina ng sa Dios kung sa imayo o kung sa inyong dautan.
Do you see how the devil works? He takes the truth and he mixes it with a lie.
Mabaw ka nga ang gibuhat sa away. Daro, iyang gilisot lang ang maong pulong o niya gihingo niya nga daw sa sama-sama sa maong nga paagi sa Diyos.
It would be like taking that jug of water,
sama niya nang sa ka galon ng tubig niya,
which let's say is pure,
ato magita nga ato ibuta nga limpyo kina siya,
and putting one drop of poison in it. Would you want to drink that water? That's how the devil works. He mixes the truth with a lie. And if we're not careful, if we're not discerning, we too can be enticed by that. We need to be careful what's in our hearts. It's good to check your heart. It says, be diligent concerning your heart. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. But I see this as a counterfeit. The devil bringing religion into the very realm of the garden where God had established a relationship. You know, probably the best definition that I can give you out of the Bible for religion, let's turn to 2 Timothy.
3:10.
You want to read, brother, 1 through 5?
1 through 5.
Keep in mind we're speaking of the time we're in. Verse 5, having a form of godliness. But doing what? Denying the power thereof. Do you know that the religious systems of men are based upon that? They have a form of godliness. But they deny the power of the Holy Ghost. And of course, there are many religions that deny God altogether as far as the truth in Jesus Christ. So God has an order, would you say? Is there order in God? A prescribed order? As far as how He sets up the church? Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. It seems like it's hot in here, doesn't it? Is it warm? No? Are we getting tired? Do we need to stand up and stretch for a minute? Huh? Seems like we're losing the back rows. Amen. Can we praise the Lord? Hallelujah. I come from South Florida and I should be used to this heat, but it's rather warm. Amen. Go ahead and sit down. I want us to understand something. As far as order in the church, God has a prescribed order. But you see in the church systems a counterfeit. You see a system that man has set up. Right? You understand? Let's look at what the order of God is.
Four eleven.
He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists. Huh? What does your Bible say? Pastors, teachers. Why? What's the next verse say? Read, please. For what? The perfecting of the saints? For the work of the ministry? For the edifying of the body of Christ? The next verse, till what? We all come into what? Let's read it. What's it say? Can we read it together? Verse 13. Let's read it together, those that have Bibles. Till we go ahead. Understand what that means?
Yes.
Are we there yet?
Yes.
Huh? Oh, we are?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Are...
Yes.
What did you ask?
Yes.
Not yet? What did you say? If you answered yes, that we're there, we're not. We need the fivefold ministry. Right? There are some churches that have thrown out the apostle and the prophet.
Amen.
Huh? Not us. We recognize those two ministries.
Amen.
They are very crucial for the perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
Right? Do we understand? A fivefold ministry? But we need to go back and revisit what it said there in verse 11. What does your Bible say? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. Pastors. You know, there's a problem with that word. Do you know that that word is Latin? Pastor. It's Latin in origin. It means herdsman. The word that means shepherd. Is Greek, and the word in the Greek is poimen.
A Greek word for poimen.
It's found 18 times in the New Testament. In the New Testament, 17 times it's translated shepherd. But 18 times is it translated, poimen is translated, or it's found 18 times, 17 times it's translated shepherd. One time it's translated pastor.
Why we call the shepherd pastor? Why the shepherd 17 or 18 times in the New Testament we just call in a...
But see, there's a problem with this word. First of all, it's Latin. It has no business in a Greek text. And a herdsman drives the cattle. But a shepherd leads by example. What is it saying?
So now we know that pastor is not.
Well, why do you think the one time it's translated pastor, it's found in that particular text? Somehow when the King James Bible was being translated, that word was slipped in there and it was made an office. God never designed the office of a pastor. In fact, God never designed the system of clergy and laity. You understand? Do you agree? Let's look at a scripture in Mark chapter 10. Verses 35 through 45. Does somebody want to read that, please? Verse 42, in English, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Verse 43, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be what? Your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be what? Servant of all. We need to understand that pastor is not in the heart of God. God never intended for any one man to have an office that was elevated over others. In fact, if you desire an office as such. God says you are to become a servant. And in some scriptures, it's actually the word is slave. It's not an elevated position. It's not an office. But the ministry of a shepherd is one who leads by example. Amen?
Amen.
We understand that? In fact, that word for minister there, some churches have also made that an office. But the root word of that in the Greek actually means to run errands.
Run
errands.
Errands.
So let's see how many ministers in the churches would be agreeable to do that. In other words, those of you who may have been pastors, maybe there are some of you that presently are pastors. That office is not a position that has been made by God. Now a shepherd, on the other hand, lays his life down for the sheep. And leads by example. The ministry of a shepherd is very much in the heart of God. Amen? Let's look at another scripture in Revelation. Chapter 2. I just want you to see all the different scriptures that relate to that particular. For the system of a clergy and a laity. Did we hear this morning that God has called us all to be members of a body? Look at your natural body. Does your natural body have arms and legs? Fingers, toes? All various parts of the body? And yet they function as a whole? All under the headship? There are parts in my body I'm not even aware are functioning. And yet they are. Amen?
Amen.
But they all come under the command of the head. You want a definition of the body of Christ? It's all those who are functioning under His headship. Amen?
Amen.
It's important that we're all hearing from the head. And yet God sets in the body apostles, prophets, evangelists, who make the correction shepherds,
shepherds,
and teachers.
And teachers.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Let's look at one other scripture here. Brother, would you read? Revelation chapter 2. I'm looking to see where I want to start. Yeah, but I should probably read it in context. Let's start with verse 1 and read down through verse 6. 1 through 6.
From verse 1 to 6.
Sumat kining alang sa anghel si Juan sa episode. Mok kini ang isa ibigan kaniya na nasundot sa pito ko ito sa iyong buong kamot. Huwag na lakaw at aniwala sa pito ka ugawan ng Tuhan sa sula. Verse 6. Iyon, ang lakayo kanimo mo nga ikatilagan mo ang dipuat sa manipuleta sama sa akong pagkatilag ni Usap. Kung may dalungan ka, pamati ang inyong sa Espiritu ngayon sa mga simbahan.
Again, let's just read verse 14 through 15. This is another church, Pergamos.
Apan niya ay pipilag ang utang ay kasaway ko ganito. Ana, kanaay, pipilag niya ganito na bisago sa patulong ng Balaam. Na nagtutulog baka, nagtutulog ang bala, pagpintal sa katawan sa Israel ang mga kasala, pinagis pagkakong sinalang ng Diyos ng Diyos kung pinagis sa pagkikilawan. May pipilag ang utang ganito na nagsulog sa patulong ng Nicolaita.
This word, Nicolaitan, is actually two words. Nico or Nikao means to rule over.
Nico,
Laitan or laity is the people. God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. In fact, he hates it so much he said it twice in the same chapter. But it's not God's heart for a clergy and a laity. Do you know where that system first was found? In Babylon. Amen. God wants us all to understand that we're all members of His body. Each one of us have a part. What happens if I cut off this finger and lay it on this table? It dies, doesn't it? And my body will hurt because of it. And there's not any part of my body I'm willing to let go of. How much more is it in the body of Christ? We need to understand that God has called all of us. Actually, this sister here quoted the scripture out of Peter that we're called to be a kingdom of priests. Amen. We're all called to minister. Now, does that mean we do away with the fivefold ministry? No. All the more so, Ephesians 4 says God has set first, and He names the fivefold ministry. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come into perfection. Amen? Do we understand the working then that God wants to bring forth? So let's look at the shepherd ministry.
So,
let's not think of it as pastor anymore. But those who are called to be shepherds, care well for the flock of God. And by example, are leading. Not driving, not pushing, but by example, laying down their lives. Amen. Amen. So you see, it's a whole different understanding than what the church has taught. But it really requires something more. Those who are called shepherds are called to lay down their lives for the sheep. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Do we understand? Amen. God brings understanding that we might come into a greater dimension. That we might begin to function as members of His body. Now the shepherd, even though he's leading by example, must be under the headship of Christ. It doesn't give him license to do as he pleases. But he must be hearing from the chief shepherd. And he in turn is laying his life down. Amen?
Amen.
See, the problem is the church has made offices. If you read in 1 Timothy 3, it says if a man desire the office of a bishop, and it begins to lay down a certain ground rule of what he must be. But that word bishop means overseer. And deacon means servant. The church has made them an office and has exalted their position above the people.
The word office is not in the Greek.
Did you? There is no such thing as office in the Bible. And remember, God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. That system which sets a clergy over a laity. But I want you to remember, it's all part of the foundation. It's because we desire to be the building or the habitation of God. See, the beauty of it is we come from all different places. And yet if we're sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, we operate under His headship. We recognize ministries in our midst, but they're not elevated above. They're not an office above. And yet they're respected. Amen. We receive what they have to share. Amen. But we see that among you all, there are very many groups. I don't know how many are out there. But we come together, we're an expression of His body. Amen. Amen. Do we understand? Amen. And God is calling us to a much higher place. God doesn't want us to be bound anymore by these things. Think of us as being loosed. That we can, like the butterfly, take flight in the heavens. No longer being bound to earth. Bound to religious systems. Bound to the traditions of men. Amen. 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 God bless you all.
Well, amen. I have more to say, but I'm not going to say it all right now. But I did want to, because Brother Mark opened up some subjects, maybe just bring a little exhortation on that. The passage that he read from Mark, what chapter was it? On the disciples wanting these positions. Was it Mark 10? Yeah, Mark 10. Jesus was describing, read that verse about where he talked about the Gentiles. Maybe it's two verses. Brother, read it in English for me to revive my memory here. Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Does he know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them?
Okay, hold on right there. Gentiles means the people of the world. Okay? So let's say this is the people of the world. Now, they that are accounted to rule over the Gentiles, so that means there are some that are given positions over the Gentiles. When you work in the world system, this is the way their kingdoms are set up. Then go on with that verse.
And their great ones exercise authority upon them.
All right. Now they have great ones. Presidents. Superintendents. Bishops. Archbishops. And they rule over them. Do you see what you have here?
Yeah.
You have a pyramid system which works fine if you're running a factory, if you're doing business out in the world. You need lines of authority because these businesses are not operated by the Holy Spirit. When the top man gives directions, he needs to know that it goes down through his chain of command and that all the little workers are doing what they're supposed to do. But this is not, it shall not be so among you. Now, I have talked to pastors in the past. and we have talked about what God's intention is for shepherds. And we have talked about how God wants to be the shepherd over the flock, and how he wants a plurality of elders. And the man answers me back, and he says, well, yes, I agree, that's what the Bible says, but it doesn't work. So how did the church come to the place where God's order doesn't work anymore? That's a question. How did it happen? You see, there was a time when Jesus walked among us, and the early New Testament church then, after he left and the Holy Spirit came, that people walked as the body of Christ. Each one heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we didn't need someone else to tell us, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. So there was a responsibility on the part of every member in the body. Now, brethren, we need to come away from the concept that somebody else will be hearing the Holy Spirit for me and tell me what God is saying, and I don't have to hear what God is saying. So as long as people are lulled into this place where they don't want to hear what God is saying, they don't want to take responsibility for a personal relationship with God, then you will be content to have someone else hear what God is saying, and he'll tell you what he thinks God is saying. Now, for the most part, I would hope that the man's heart is pure. Who is a pastor, he truly wants to hear what God is saying. But you see, the problem is, he might be led astray, and he might be deceived. And he might come under the influence of someone else, maybe that's higher than he, that has certain ideas about how the business ought to be run. He doesn't agree with it, but he's held into bondage that if he says anything different, he's in rebellion. So this is God's order, and we all had to come into this. There was a time when they called me a pastor. It didn't last very long. I began hearing the word of the kingdom, and I began to say, no, I can't do this. But then I came to the place where I said, but Lord, what shall I do? Shall I just walk away and leave the sheep because I'm out of order? And gradually I began to hear the word of the Lord. No, you still have a ministry. You're part of fivefold ministry. You carry out the ministry that you have, but you don't lord over the sheep. And secondly, you begin to find other men who will be faithful that can also be elders, and they can be taking a place of equality with you. In other words, I would be stepping down. Not that they would be coming up, but I would be like the sheep. I'm a sheep as well. And so I began to make changes in my life. Now, I want you to understand this, because there were some questions asked last year among some brethren that were here, and I think that they understood what God was saying, but they weren't really quite willing to let go of the position that they were in. And I remember the one man that asked several times, I think he asked the question, well, I'll just change my title. All right, I won't call myself pastor anymore, I'll call myself shepherd. I said, no, that's not all God is asking for. God wants you to change your way of business. And the brother said, but my business is okay. What I'm doing is okay. I said, well, then it isn't going to do you any good to change your title, because you're still going to be carrying on like a pastor. Amen? Now, I'll just drive it home again. We're going to talk more about this, because I'm sure there's lots of questions. We have a lot more detail to add to this some other time. But you see, the pastor has a herd, and the herd can be cattle, it might be sheep, it might be pigs, it could be goats, I suppose it could be horses. And if you've ever dealt with cattle, some of you have dealt with cattle, you know that you can drive a cow. Brother Lito, you have some cows out there where you live, don't you? You can put a rope on the cow, and you can pull the cow. You can get behind the cow with a stick. And it works pretty good with a cow. If she's going too slow, you whack her with a stick a little bit and keep her moving. Have you ever tried to deal with sheep that way? It can't be done. I was very foolish. Someone gave us some sheep one time, and my old mother sheep got away. I had failed her to meet her needs, and she went across the road to find romance and whatever she was looking for that time of year. So I went over to get her, and I put a cow rope around her neck. And I said, there, I'll just take her back home and I'll pull her on this rope. Do you know that she laid down on the ground? She would not allow me to do that. And I said, you stubborn sheep. I began to pull. And I said, this is not working. I need to learn how to deal with sheep. And this is what God is saying, because I don't think many of us have had experience with real sheep. You cannot deal with sheep as you deal with cows. And there's a lesson here in how we deal with people. We must walk before sheep. When the sheep learns to trust you, you can walk out, you can call that sheep, and that sheep will follow right along behind you. Because that sheep, in her mind, she thinks that you're just another one of the flock. Well, God bless you.